Enrico Pesatori interview, Business Week, May 17th.
Oh, you're here. I've forgotten to get my materials out, but that's all right. Thank you. The one of mine with the
thank you.
Old Business Week logo on it.
Yes, they should embossed that way.
Yeah. Appreciate your time today. I'm sure you're busy, but.
No, that's fine. It's back to the show.
That's true. But even
what
so.
What can I tell you then? Everybody has to tell you yet.
I don't know. That's one of the interesting things about the interview process, to try to get new information about similar topics.
You see this resulting in a story when?
We're just talking about that. Maybe
probably mid-June's the earliest.
Probably mid-June, yeah.
That's mid-June.
But many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. But hopefully it'll be around then. You know, just there's lots of other reporters. Who knows when that one. First, I have to come up with something coherent to say. That's where you're going to help me out. Let me get my trusted tape recorder on. Enrico Pesatori. So,
okay.
Your business is sort of big systems, PCs. You got the whole.
Well, it's on the system side of it.
System side.
So. Personal computers to system platform across three operating systems that we market, client server computing, other systems. But in a vertically integrated way from product strategy, from strategy to development, manufacturing, logistics, central marketing.
Okay.
I
know you haven't had this total portfolio for your time here at Digital, but I wonder if there's some way you can sort of provide with an overview of the changes that have taken place on this side of the business over the last few years.
I've been with Digital just about a little over 2 years. Started in February of 93. I joined the company to head the personal computer business units. And then I'm in this responsibility that is organized now in three business units. Basically from a year ago, little over a year, little over April of last year, after the Q3 announcement. I think if I have to characterize what happened in the turnaround of the company, I think that a lot of effort was put into restructuring the company and forming out of the core business of Digital the business unit that had a meaning of being independent or being self-standing. That was basically the time in which, of course, we confirmed our service organization as a self-standing business. And I know that you already spoke with John Lander, so I'm sure he gave you a story. The storage business, the network hardware business, the digital consulting business at the time, what the PC business that was started almost from scratch. Our revenue at the time, a few hundreds of millions of dollars per year. What was left untouched from an organization standpoint, and though significant reorganization was done within the space, was the core business of the company. And the core business is, you know, the part of the company that was designing, manufacturing, and marketing. Basically, the computer of the company. You know, since Digital is a computer company, that was the core business of the company. In the sense that we relied on the fact, until a year ago, that the organization, that was basically the organization of the 80s that made Digital so successful in that space, was still the correct organization for the 90s. And And of course, we realized, particularly after the result of the third quarter of last year, that that was not the case, which means the core business of the company, with its losses, was dragging the company into an unprofitable situation, regardless of the collective positive result of all the other business units. This when with the Palmer we decided to organize the core business of the company around usually a single leadership and to basically restructure, not that much reorganize, but redesign the way of doing business with each other in this space. So answering your question, the major changes, other major changes happened, but I think the real substantial change which prompted, which is still prompting the majority of the turnaround in digital, is in its core business. We will maybe elaborate later on if it's your interest on personal computers, but I know that you are talking tomorrow with one of the person reporting to me, Bernauer, who will tell you what this is. But maybe just in a nutshell, digital is becoming very quickly a two-platform strategy, a two-platform company, both Intel and Risk, and therefore has been Alpha. The growth in PCs, both in terms of the client level, so portable and desktops, and at the server level, most important, is absolutely strategic for the success of the company. And therefore, one of our core strategies is to have a growing, profitable, successful Intel business than probably Intel business, not much personal business. I think we went a long way in a couple of years. We are now ranked among the top 10 worldwide suppliers. And personal computers, if you look at the last quarter, do represent today 30% of our product revenue, from almost zero. And we are profitable, even though we are not, as you know, releasing data by business unit. Everybody's asking whether we are profitable in PC, so we make an exception to that. So, enough is said PC. I'm sure that now we'll give you perspective where we are going. We are growing very, very well. We grew last quarter 60%. We believe that that level of growth will be sustainable next year for us. Mm-hmm. Our goal is this too. Become among the top 6-7 largest provider of PCs worldwide. So let's go back to the core business of the company. The situation a year ago was pretty serious because in spite of the excellent technology that we had in the company, we were basically losing 30 cents on every dollar of revenue in our core business. When you lose that amount of money, you're kind of running out of options, but see it quickly. You know, what you have to change in order to come back to an acceptable P&L.
This regarding the PC business?
Yeah, regarding the PC. Now I mean pure in the core business. Alpha and Vaxus, clear client server software. So I'm disregarding totally the PC business, as I said, it's a dynamic of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, we studied basically for over a month and a half, before the end of June, what was fundamentally wrong in this business, and the steps that we were necessary to take in order to go back, as I said, to a reasonable P&L. Keep in mind that we count this business without the service profit associated with the business. So it's a little bit different in the measurement. So our goal was very simple, is to go from 30 cents per dollar of losses to reasonably close to break even within 12 months. And unfortunately, 12 months end next month, so we are there. We analyzed the different factors and we discovered a few things. First of all, our SG&A was 2.5 times the one of our competitors. Our gross margins were a lot of points below our competitors. And even our excellent technology was not brought to market the speed and the marketing professionals needed in order to be successful. So we started studying the situation with a handful of people, and then the number of people grew. And one of our goals was to be very upfront, since the company had already been downsized for 2 years, 2.5 years. We had to be very upfront of which plans we had in order to turn around the business. So around the middle of July of last year, we laid out in front of our top 150 managers of the core business of our company the plan to do that. And first of all, we had to deal with every line of the P&L, if you will. First of all, in our core business, our revenues were declining, had been declining for 2 or 3 years. We had to stop the decline. Second, our gross margin was not competitive, as I said before, and we put in place all the steps to, you know, get back to competitiveness in terms of gross margin. And if you look at the trend in the last 3 quarters of the gross margin of the product revenue or the total gross margin of the company, you see a continuous improvement, which is basically driven by the improvement in this side of the business. Third, we had to tackle our SG&A problem, which was related to the way we were organized, if you will, what in digital was called many times as the matrix management, so the non-clear line of responsibilities were given by the lack of integration between engineering, manufacturing, marketing, sales, and strategy, and were mostly given not to the efficiency of our sales force, but to the account coverage model that we had in our business. We were covering directly an enormous amount of accounts, much more than was affordable, and much more that was affordable and doing a good job. Keep in mind that about a year ago we were covering directly over 10,000 accounts worldwide. And this was an heritage of, and by the way, and by doing that, we also had by definition a distribution strategy that was very unbalanced on direct revenue versus indirect revenue. And therefore, we had lost the share of mind and confidence of our distribution partners. Keep in mind that it not always had been that way. In the mid-80s, on the strength of our products, this was the time of the introduction of the Microvax, etc., digital had an excellent network of indirect channels. Because of the strength of our product, not that much because of part of our strategy. But around that time, we did a strategic mistake, which is, in order to improve the account control, and in order to improve our margins, we did not hesitate to bypass our distribution partners when the opportunity to grow the business on a certain account, you know, did arise. And of course, I mean, we were growing very fast at the time. So the end result is that we ended up, you know, covering 10,000 accounts, and we ended up losing the confidence of a lot of the distribution partners worldwide to the benefit and the delight of companies like Sun and HP that were going exactly in the plan. So it was very clear that if we wanted to return the company to profitability, to grow again, and to have an acceptable SG&A that would make the profitability possible, we had to change the model of doing business. First, by covering directly a far lower number of accounts and working with partners and our own people in order to cover the balance of accounts. Second, in being very upfront in our strategy of cooperating with partners and not competing with partners. And I mean this in terms of distribution partners, ISV partners, or system integration partners. This is why we, in order to force this to happen, we actually did change the organization of our core business, aside from streamlining it and making it a vertically integrated organization, which is the system business unit of today. We created a separate organization to cover directly for the account, which is today the account business unit. So one side of the organization is totally focused on the product strategy, the design of the product, the marketing of the product worldwide, and the delivery of the product only to indirect channels. And another side of the organization has the task of improving the account penetration on a selected number of accounts that are directly covered by our company, which is today a little over 1,000 from 10,000 a year ago. Now, in order to be sure that to those accounts we really give the maximum value added, we also deployed within the account business unit all our system integration resources that were prior deployed in what I call digital consulting that seems to exist as a consequence of this. So we are now an organization that brings in a synergic way the value added that we bring to large accounts and not to large project together with the system integration capabilities, keeping in mind our company is the fifth largest system integration company in the world. So this was a tremendous change in really the way of doing business for the company. And together with the other improvement in efficiency in the core business, resulted also in the largest portion of the downsize of the company in the last 12 months. About a year ago, in the core business of the company, we had over 40,000 people. Today, we have less than 22,000 people. And we have even practically flat revenue, so we didn't doctor it. It was one of our measures. This is why, at the end, the logic of the turnaround did happen, and this is why we actually, even though two profitable quarters do not make a turnaround, we are in a better situation today than we were then. So this is where the major changes did happen.
So presumably you had to get rid of a lot of costs at every level, manufacturing?
Well, there was a lot of pruning all over the place, and from the more efficiency in engineering, stop competing with partners and therefore to disinvest on product areas were opportunity for us, but were not synergic with our strategy. To give an example, we had an excellent relational database, which was our RDB software, which was the core of the database of our OpenDNS customers. But by continuing to push this database, we were competing instead of cooperating with companies like Oracle or Sybase or Informix. And therefore we decided to form a partnership with Oracle, basically to sell RDB to Oracle, under, of course, the assumption that they would continue to improve the product and to, to give assistance to our customers. And now we are in consequence of that. Our share of mind Oracle is dramatically increasing. We are the number one growing platform in Europe with Oracle. I'm sure you saw the note about the announcement of a recent product that we did in Europe, which is called Drupal Laser. I'm sure Colin has probably talked about it. That was done jointly between Digital and Oracle. And it would not have been possible without a major development in the Oracle database to adapt the Oracle 7 to 64-bit computing. And this is what is prompting together with the platform itself and our 64-bit units, the incredible performance of this product. So if you see it in retrospect, this plan so aggressive, because we had to be there 12 months, was to a certain extent a major gamble for the company. But I believe that we had no options. And I think that looking in retrospect, even though we are far away from complete
taking the job.
I think we should feel proud of what we've got.
What you say you're still a ways away from completing, what remains to be done?
Well, I think, you know, when you downsize by almost 50%, you're just an example. Your employees, you have a lot of rebalancing to do. We have to gain much more efficiency in our infrastructure. By infrastructure, in our logistics systems, our administration systems, financial information systems. We still need to tune the account coverage because this was fairly brutal in fairly a short period of time. And, you know, we need to improve the efficiency. We need to improve the customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to switch from what we call, which you know, we are doing now, from what we call the tail end of the strategic or the financial turnaround of the company to the strategic turnaround. Strategic turnaround of the company means to be successful with our product and services so that the company will start growing significantly. The company in our field, the company doesn't grow, has no future. So we have to start growing again. So that is where the majority of the emphasis is still focused. Now we feel very comfortable with our technology. Feel comfortable in the strategy that is emerging in the company on how to move forward. And we have a lot of executions to do.
What is the strategy that's emerging in the company?
Well, I know that you probably have discussed with other people, but you know, we are in the process of forming our strategy on how we move forward. And for sure, the strategy of our company is leveraging the core competences that we are bringing to our customers. And we believe that our value proposition is to provide our customers with the computing platform, optimize for heterogeneous networking environment in a client server architecture, and to deploy and support it more cost effectively and more efficiently and more quickly than our own competitors. So you can see emerging a company that will keep investing heavily in our computing platform by differentiating ourselves from many of our competitors. Computing platforms that are optimized in a networking environment. And therefore, the connectivity will play a major role in our strategy. We continue to invest heavily in service. We have a very large service organization, and we add more and more every day to new services. And I'm sure that John Randall expects that to you. In addition to that, more and more large companies will need to provide the level of system integration that complements your capability in product without competing with major system integration companies, but by complementing major system integration companies. So I would say our excellence in platform, our excellence in service, and our excellence in direct coverage and system integration to complement that. It's going probably to be the guidelines for how we are going to move forward.
But you're still sort of nailing it down in these high level
meetings? No, it's basically, of course, the strategy is never finished.
No, but gather there's some current schedule.
It's emerging. And, we will become very crisp about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's an evolution of where we're strong. We're strong in computing platforms. We've been traditionally strong in networks. We are strong in high performance semiconductor. We are strong in services. We are strong in system integration. We are strong, very strong in large account. We have an extremely loyal customer base. So you put all this together in your eye, to the core competences and the core strategy of this operation. I'm sure that Batman will put this in his perspective.
Uh-huh. What are you doing in terms of, you go around and you talk to people about digital and say, yeah, great products, but they've been able to market the thing very well. I presume you're making a lot of changes on this front, but what do you address that issue?
Well, that's the... Well, I think that, first of all, you don't grow in PCs from number 27 in the world to number 10 if you don't have marketing, because PCs is mostly marketing. So we must have done something right in marketing PCs. Second, I don't think that... There were some weakness in management in marketing the company more than some significant weaknesses. But the most important weakness, in my opinion, was how the marketing effort of the company were fragmented among hundreds of products, hundreds of initiatives, without a real coordination. Now, both in PCs and in our core business that drives the majority of the product and the packaging of the company, we have, first of all, a lot of new talent coming from the best industries. And we have a very coordinated effort that brings around a number of single major marketing efforts, the entire logic of the marketing of the company, for instance. We definitely have a strength around enterprise computing. Among enterprise computing, the general umbrella that covers from our capability in client-server computing, our capability of large database machines, our capability of three-tier architectures. This is all under a synergical umbrella, and this is how we're going to market. Another major initiative is how we're going to protect our install base, therefore how we're going to provide a comfortable future to our OpenVMS customers. We might have close to 500,000 boxes and alpha installed with OpenVMS running. And the announcement that we made about 10 days ago in Washington regarding the tight integration we are moving toward between OpenVMS and Windows MT is part of this strategy. Another strategy is the exploitment of our microprocessor technology in providing technical computing, which is mostly workstation and client-server computing around workstations. And the other area is our very strong competence in servers, in reliable client-server network servers, both across RISC platform and Intel platform. So you see emerging a digital that is rallying around few very distinct and very comprehensive marketing push in the market, and more and more, we are focusing on fewer things. Mm-hmm. And we are focusing on gaining mind share of mm-hmm. selected customers in the areas of strength. We were addressing too many things, too many customers, too many problems. So I think that the great product, lousy marketing, cliche of the company will probably stay for us for a while. But as soon as we start significantly to grow the revenue, this perspective will change. But within the company, this has already changed. It's changing very rapidly. We have some very, very talented people that are driving our marketing.
So you've centralized it more?
Well, in the core business, we have a center, we have what we call a system marketing. That is coordinating all the marketing activity around our core business. And of course, by coordinating the activity of the core business, you are indirectly coordinating also some of the peripheral business of the company. Mm-hmm. But it's not a central marketing for the entire company, because this would jeopardize the growth of other companies that are more focused on specific market sectors. Take the network hardware, for instance. its competitors are very focused on one segment of the market. Our PC business unit has the dash to compete with Dell and Compaq and the likes.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about coming up with a new strategic overlay for the company, a strategic framework, what choices is that going to necessitate you making?
I think the majority are choices of the area where to invest. And so I think, you know, the strategy is mostly the choice of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And this would basically direct our investment.
Can you share something about what that might mean?
Well, I mean, if you have to grow in services, you have to invest in services. If you want to grow in system integration, you have to invest in services. This is rather obvious, but this is what we're talking about. It means to do a few things in markets that are promising, in markets where we believe that we can offer better solutions than our competitors, to focus on those, and to put all the investment in efforts. I think in the best, every company that gets into trouble is because it's not focusing its investment. This would be in financial resources, technical resources, or human resources in too many directions. And to a certain extent, this is what happened to digital later.
But do you think you've winnowed down with these four or five areas, you know, already?
Well, that is the focus of the core business of the company. But, you know, together with the service, the system integration, et cetera, and the area of strength in our platform, for instance, if we believe that our networking capability and client-server capability is a key competence of the company, our network hardware excellence is an area of investment by definition. That's what links everything together. Our SI capability is another one, because the key to client-server computing is how you interconnect computers using different operating systems coming from different vendors in a way that is easy to use and cost-effective for our customers. You know, if you look at the client-server computing, the customers many times are seeing the benefit from a product standpoint, from a product acquisition standpoint. They don't see the benefit as a total cost of operations, because client-server computing is far more complex. That's any form of centralized computing by definition. And we believe that we have a specific capability in making it easier for our customers to deploy client-server computing, and most important, to make it much more cost-effective and competitive. So that's an area of investment.
But that applies to some areas that you're currently in will have got less investment as well?
It may apply, of course. I mean, when you set a strategy, you have to set a critical view of your area of activity and choices.
So, are there some particular areas of your...
No, I would prefer not to comment on that. I don't feel we are very in front of that, but we know that we have to be very focused.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be very focused. Now, we are not going to become a niche company. $14 billion company are not a niche company. And we don't plan to turn ourselves into a new Unisys.
Shrink your way to glory?
Yeah.
Or to mediocrity?
Yeah. So, that's not in the, you know, digital is a company too proud. It's a company where its people believe that they will make a difference in information technology. We cannot turn ourselves into a me-too company. Just
mm-hmm.
not in the mindset of our people, both technical people and marketing.
Mm-hmm. A couple of key areas here. In terms of the, and you've got the alpha business under your control. This is something maybe I don't understand, but you know, there's this whole sort of microprocessor war going on in the industry. Again, I'm not a technical reporter, so I'm looking at this from a extremely stratospheric perspective without understanding a lot of it, perhaps, but you've got Intel, PowerPC, and, you know, a couple of RISC players and whatever. how can digital, with an alpha processor, in other words, make it for the next 10 years? I mean, how, you know, if you don't have anybody else supporting your platform, sure. you don't have a huge sort of volume of chips coming out of the plant, the fab, to sort of support the next generation. And it seems like there's a sort of game of volume and price. The curve goes down and whatever.
But
saying that PowerPC may not survive, and they've got
the online. If you carry this to the extreme, you can decide that only one company will survive is Intel, and only one software company will survive is Microsoft. I think the world is a little more complex than that.
Right.
If you look at Alpha, or if you look at any RISC processor, mm-hmm. you have always to, by the way, I mean, I'm sure that Caldwell, I don't know if you saw it, Caldwell or not, and Palmer will give you some more pointed point on this. I'm definitely sure of that.
Unfortunately, everyone I talk to says, oh, you should ask.
I'm telling you that, but I'm just saying that Caldwell are going to bury you. So, don't worry, Caldwell is not going to be perfect. But yeah. What I'm saying is that in the processor, everybody has to be confronted with the dominance of Intel. And now, we are not confronting Intel, we are riding with Intel. This is why we are continuing to go as fast as we can about this business. Now, the point is that the architecture that we have on Alpha is intrinsically superior to any other architecture existing today, or probably in design today. We are comfortable on that. We don't need to be told. We are shipping today product chips in our turbo laser that can process 1 billion instructions per second. And we are going to go far beyond that, and I'm sure that Caldwell will bury you on data. So the point is not the architecture. The point, because we believe that the architecture that we have is so scalable, that can carry us for the next well into the year 2000 and beyond, probably 15 years. The problem is not the investment to maintain the architecture. The problem is the manufacturing investment. How can anybody afford the investment in manufacturing technology to keep in production such an advanced processor? Our strategy is very simple. We cannot do it forever by ourselves. We need it now. We are very comfortable with the manufacturing technology that will go in operation next year in Hudson. It's probably, manufacturing technology of semiconductor, you always need farm somebody else. I think when we go in operation, it will be the best one in the world. Now, our challenge is to team up with other companies and with another major semiconductor company to share the investment of the manufacturing technology needed after, when this technology will not be, will have to be revamped 2 years from now. And we believe that we can very well solve that problem by teaming up with another major manufacturer. Mm-hmm. So the issue is not the alpha per se, it's the technology to manufacture.
In other words, you can continue to use alpha as the main engine.
For our, keep in mind that with the advent, P6 will push the risk higher, and P7 will push the other risk higher and higher. So the only reason to have an alpha or to have a power PC, or to have a PA architecture, or to have a MIPS architecture, or to have a SPARC architecture, is that you need to constantly outperform by a significant amount what comes from the low end, which is the Intel architecture. And we believe that Alpha, that is already 64-bit processor, while everybody else will have 64-bit processor, with MIPS at a very low volume. We believe, as it is in our press release, by the time our major competitors, the ship 64-bit processor, will have already close to $5 billion in revenue. That's a significant advantage. You cannot design a turbo laser-like product. With P5, with P6, maybe you will be able to do it with P7, but you have to wait for 3 years to do that. We can deliver that today.
So you can continue to stay ahead of them?
Yeah. You have to stay well ahead of the curve coming from from Intel, but again, as I said before, we are not trying to position Inalpha as a competitor. It's a complement on the high end. And we know very well that 60% of the computer hardware world will be dominated by PCs and workstations. The last vast majority will be by PCs, which means Intel technology. This is why we are investing so much in Intel technology. We are working, by the way, very closely with Intel on some of the technology. This is why I said, you know, in the beginning of my conversation, we are becoming very fast a two-platform company. And this is why, contrary to all of our competitors today, we have already embraced Windows NT as one of our strategic operating systems, because Windows NT is the exact example of an operating environment that for sure will be successful in the future. It will be one of the dominant client-server operating systems in the future, in particular in commercial applications. Is running on both Windows NT and Intel, and for us bridges in a seamless way a product range that goes from a notebook computer to a supercomputer.
So the danger that somehow you won't be able to afford Alpha, or that, you know, sort of thing that...
Well, as I said before, I think that we will be able to form a manufacturing technology agreement with other companies, because of the technology that we have in semiconductor, that will make us very possible.
So that will worry you?
And if you tell me it doesn't worry you, then you know, whether the customers will buy tons of your product next year, of course it will. But I think it's one of the things that we can do.
And why are the customers going to buy your product? Why would they buy your product versus HP? I talked to some of your customers, and they say, you know, great company, we still buy their products, we're buying more indirect now, you know, it's not a big problem, whatever. Then you talk to a few others and they say, you know, well, we used to buy a lot of digital, but, you know, HP is sort of a hot company now, and they've got good products, and we're buying from them.
I think our business is cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
There is the hot company and there is not the hot company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had our share of problems, keep in mind that If you ask me this question, if you ask me this question 8 months ago, you would ask me another question. You would ask me, why should somebody buy from digital if everybody questions whether digital will be around? And now nobody questions anymore whether it will be around or not. Now you're down, why your product from a company that had so much trouble in the past 2 or 3 years? Well, the product are superior, that is the problem. If you evaluated the product as a product, we believe that we are second to none in terms of price performance and in terms of performance. The problem is that are we yet the ideal company to do business with? Well, we have to improve a lot. As I said before, we have to become an easier company to do business with. We have to streamline our infrastructure. We have to have better marketing. We started late with Unix. And therefore, our two major competitors, HP and Sun, have more application running on Unix, but we are catching very fast and we are growing very fast in Unix. We believe that in the emerging market of Windows NT, we'll be positioned better than any other competitor. We believe that if you want to be able to address specific applications in heavy networking environment, our solutions are better than our competitors. Our system integration, we believe, is superior to our competitor, and our global reach in terms of service and support is better than our competitor. This is why we are going to business. Now HP is also doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, I mean, you get your comments like, you know, if you sort of match them up one against one, maybe the digital machines look better, but computing is moving so fast, that doesn't really make a whole lot of difference to me as a buyer. Because next year it's going to be, you know, the HP machine will be better anyway, or you know, whatever. So that what they're really doing is sort of buying into the company, I guess.
And, sure.
You know, and some of the people out there seem to think that, you know, they don't want to commit to you at this time, or they're just not getting the, you know.
Remember that in the 80s, digital was the computing company. The new computing company. So are we going to repeat the success of the 80s? Yeah, so it's not, competition is much tougher. Our competitors are all over us, by definition. You know, HP was not around, Compaq was not around, Sun was in its infancy. Now each one of them are extremely respected company. So the key for us is, what is our place in that environment? And I believe that we have to win our share of customers by delivering the value that we deliver. We deliver better than anybody else. Keep in mind that we still have one of the largest and loyal install base in the marketplace. In spite of the claim of our competitors, there are still 500,000 digital products serviced by our company in the marketplace. And we intend to keep our fair share of that huge install base. In addition to that, we are winning some very good new products, new customers. If you want to run a terabyte database of an insurance company, you want to process it as fast as, you know, as a 300 times improvement versus what you are doing today, the answer is only digital. Or it's a $20 million mainframe. 20 times more than what you would pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a point in which superior technology makes a difference. And keep in mind that the database application is the first real